Next on our agenda, as you can see, is my regular report as Chief Justice to the Council, summarizing my engagements and ongoing outreach activities since our last meeting, February 20th. And I think this reporting period can be characterized as involving three main activities and being defined by two main events. So the activities can be grouped under ongoing budget negotiations, judicial branch outreach, and civic learning engagement. And the events brought mixed emotions. I was pleased to deliver my third State of the Judiciary address to a joint session of the California State Legislature. Many of you were in attendance. But I was equally saddened by the retirement of my colleague, Associate Justice Joyce Kennard, after 25 years on the California Supreme Court, 40 years overall to public service in California. I was glad to be able to share the recognition of what I believe is her impeccable character and her admirable traits and her contributions with the legislature during my State of the Judiciary address. The themes in my address this year to the legislature were fairness and collaboration in the context of the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights Act. I believed that it was important, especially in this third and a half year, to highlight our accomplishments as a branch, our efforts with innovation, including Justice Corps, our efficiency, including our longstanding history with collaborative courts, and our commitment to fairness and collaboration in delivering equal, meaningful access to justice to all Californians. I again stressed the idea of a modern civil rights crisis in our courts, and that seemed to resonate with many listeners, received a lot of calls and media follow-up on that meaning of that phrase. As did in my State of the Judiciary address, the clear definition of the reinvestment needed, not just for this year, but, as you know, in the blueprint, a three-year plan for a fully functioning judicial branch. The blueprint was also the topic for my discussion at a California Chamber of Commerce Legal Reform Committee roundtable with in-house counsel that I attended in Sacramento. As part of my role in the ongoing budget negotiations process, I've been in regular contact with the executive branch, the administration, the legislature, as we work through the state budget cycle. I've met with many people, including Speaker Perez, the chairs of the Assembly and Senate Judiciary Committees, Assemblymember Wykowski, Senator Jackson, the chair of the Senate Budget and Fiscal Review Committee, Subcommittee Number 5, Senator Hancock. I've also met with Assemblymembers Bloom, Mertzucci, Skinner, De Leon, and Assembly Speaker-elect Tony Atkins. I was pleased to be able to participate in Assemblymember Christina Garcia's annual Women of Distinction Awards in Los Angeles, recognizing the unique contributions of women who live or work in each of the 9 cities in her assembly district. And I understand Presiding Judge Wesley from Los Angeles joined me thereafter in Los Angeles. There were many positive signs from all of our combined legislative advocacy efforts. And thank you to all of you who attended my State of the Judiciary address, met with legislators that day and other days, and testified at the recent Senate and Assembly Budget Subcommittee hearings in Sacramento. I heard Judge Jarr being described as a, quote, silver-tongued devil who takes my money by Assemblymember Joan Sawyer. And Senator Hancock called on the Legislative Analyst Office, RAOC, and the Department of Finance to work together on proposed solutions and efficiencies. It was a great judicial branch effort to make our case, share the real impacts on court users, and to collaborate on identifying funding solutions for our sister branches of government to consider while being responsive to their questions and concerns and all of the state's needs. I'm grateful to the Judicial Council members, court leaders, the AOC staff, the Bench Bar Coalition, and the justice system partners who voiced their support and took action and still to this day continue to do so to encourage a reinvestment in our justice system. I took the opportunity to attend and lend my support to a number of other Judicial Council priority programs and initiatives, including the San Francisco Public Hearing on the Language Access Plan, the Tribal Court State Court Forum Advisory Committee, and the Family Law Self-Help Conference in partnership with the Legal Aid Association of California, all dealing with key and distinct access issues facing Californians. I also attended the groundbreaking for the council's single largest courthouse construction project under our judicial branch five-year infrastructure plan, the new San Diego courthouse. A lot of planning, including cost reduction, has gone into this project, and it will be a source of great civic pride. I have said before and many times that the strength of our democratic institution relies on the public's understanding of those institutions. That's the primary reason why I believe in the importance of civic learning and civic engagement. Civic learning is important because it creates an understanding of government, including an understanding of the relationship between the judicial branch and our sister branches. It also creates an interest in our branch and in democracy. Civic learning acts as a pipeline for students to consider careers in the legal profession and therefore potentially on the bench. And further civic engagement helps keep kids in school and out of court, and ultimately reduces the risk of a pathway that could lead from the juvenile justice system to the adult criminal justice system. The period was a busy one in the civics arena, with meetings of the Foundation for Democracy and Justice, the California Task Force on K-12 Civic Learning, and the Power of Democracy Steering Committee. Judicial Council members Frank McGuire and Mark Robinson are also involved in these efforts, and I'm grateful for the leadership roles played by Administrative Presiding Justice Judith McConnell, Attorney General Kamala Harris, and State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Torlakson. It really is a collaborative effort by constitutional officers of all branches. It was inspiring to be able to present two of the three statewide Civic Learning Awards of Excellence to the public high schools. This is an award co-sponsored with Tom Torlakson to Brawley Union High School's Bilingual Civics and United States History classes. Brawley, California is a flight to San Diego and 3 hours east. And Rio Americano's Civitas program in Sacramento. It's a truly amazing thing what creative educators and motivated students can accomplish together. I also welcomed opportunities to be a guest lecturer at UC Berkeley's Political Science Undergraduate Colloquium and to speak to those undergraduates specifically about the role of the judicial branch in a democracy in California with our very active initiative system. I also had the opportunity to speak with the professional responsibility class at Golden Gate University Law School and to participate in a Q&A at the Stanford Women's Leadership Conference with the John F. Kennedy High School's government class, and lastly, to participate in recently at the Imagine Yourself Symposium at Sonoma State University. 900 students, lawyers, and judges from the local area came to attend that symposium. All of these were great opportunities to engage with students, teachers, parents, and their communities, including judges and lawyers and elected officials, on issues and topics of interest to them and how those relate to the judicial branch and how the branch in their county relates to their interests and the overall interest in seeing a fully funded judicial branch as a co-equal member of government. And speaking of education, civics, and access, I want to take this opportunity to congratulate a former Judicial Council member, Justice Ron Roby. He received one of the National Center's highest honors, the Distinguished Service Award, a well-deserved recognition for his service, not only in California, but with the National Center for State Courts, and therefore nationally. I continued my ongoing contacts with the legal community, attending the Los Angeles County Bar Association luncheon for the Supreme Court with Justice Baxter, the justices, and Frank McGuire, presenting the California Lawyer Magazine's Attorney of the Year Awards, those are called the Clay Awards, and also being cross-examined by Justice Miller at the Western San Bernardino County Bar Association Awards. Lastly, I was pleased to welcome two groups of new judges participating in our new judges orientation program to my chambers, and to be invited by Judge Wesley once again to participate in what is thankfully becoming an annual event, that is the swearing-in of new judges in Los Angeles, where I'm always happy to see Judge Brandlin, Judge Elias, and many other active leaders in Los Angeles come to attend the new ceremony for the new judges. I think my report shows progress on all fronts for Judicial Council policy, priorities and directives, and understanding and access and liaisoning with communities about what we do at Council. And that through collaboration and unity of purpose, we are achieving positive outcomes. And I believe we've always been optimistic about this branch, but I believe there's an opportunity now for renewed optimism. That concludes my report.